Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're doing this three-part kind of training on making the transition to Sunday mornings because we've never done that before. We've always been on Sunday nights, and we've never had our own space before. We've always had to rent from others. I am going to make an all-running rule for the children at our space because we've had no running, because we've been renting from other people and been like, oh, no, they don't want us right here. We're going to have an all-running rule all the time for all the children. There's no age limit on children. You can be 90 and still run. But we've never had our own space before, so in all honesty, we've never really gotten to really, really be us. I mean, not fully, you know? And if we could turn this down, this is quite a bit hotter than I want it. I think last week we maybe developed a setting that was really good. Maybe there, that. Ha, I'm happy. Okay. So anyway, we've never been ourselves because we've never had our own space and really gotten to do things our way. So what we're doing in these 3 weeks is we're just casting a little bit of vision about how are we going to do what we do when we do it over there? Just what are we doing as a church? And so it's not so much Bible teaching as it is just trying to get us on the same path so that we can rightly make this transition in the way that I think that the Lord would just give the biggest smile about. That Forerunner Fellowship wouldn't just move locations. We'd actually enter into the purposes of the Lord for our church in this next season. So I want to ask all of you who didn't hear last week's message, go listen to it. It was very important in this three-part kind of deal and really deals with the outreach strategies that we're going to do, which is going to, I just am so excited about what we're going to do. But I'm not going to rehash all that. So if we can, tonight as we go into our session two here, I want to talk about personal ministry training. Now, this is something that we're all probably pretty familiar with because anybody that's connected over at the prayer room, you know, it's part of our DNA, part of our culture. But I just want us to kind of brush up on it a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about the importance, why, a little bit of the how, and then a couple of things that aren't so much personal ministry training as it is the ways I want us as a church family to operate over at the new building so that we can actually minister to people well. And so that's kind of your little opening there. So the purpose of this session, we're going to start praying for a lot of people. We're going to start prophesying over people with a greater intentionality. We're going to start inviting people to come into our church, inviting people off the streets, inviting people back to our church from our various outreaches. And I want us to just have some unified training together on what are we doing and how do we do it? And how do we interact with and minister to those that the Lord is going to bring us? And so tonight we're going to focus more on the personal ministry side, and then next week we're going to focus more on the prophetic ministry side. So we'll actually do a little refresher course next week on prophetic ministry, okay? So I just want to start off with loving the one. We're going to do awesome at this. That is our objective. I want us to love one person really, really well. The kindness of the Lord is that we're probably not going to see 50, 100, 200 at a time. We're probably going to see one, three, and you divide three by all of us and it's still one, you know. I want us to just minister to one person like they're the world, because they are, and they're the ones that the Lord is sending us. One of the things that's so interesting about the way that the Lord has had us build this church is until this step, we have not had a focus. We've not had really much of an opportunity, if I'm honest. We've not had any opportunities that the Lord would let us take. How about that? To try to grow the church, to try to get a lot of people in the door. And so we don't have a ton of visitors come in the door. When they do, we're super stoked to have them. So we've kind of not really been focused or thinking that direction. We've been thinking about, well, what does a normal Sunday look like? And why do we need to be focusing on things that aren't real for a normal Sunday? Well, our normal Sunday is about to shift a little bit. And so I want us to make sure that we're actually, you know, thinking in line with that. Our outreaches that we're going to do are not going to be about reaching hundreds of people. I'd be so stoked if we really loved two or three people well per outreach. Like really well. Loved them really well. So I don't want us thinking about, oh, well, we only had 3 people today. Awesome. That's great. That is so incredible. When was the last time we had 3 visitors? You know? Like, that's incredible. Let's love those 3 so well, they cannot think of anything in their whole world that they'd rather do than come back to be with us again. Let's love the one so well. This is not about the quantity. It's about the quality of the interactions. I want us to be all about interacting with great intentionality, with a lot of love, those that the Lord brings into our midst. It's about how much love can we show that one person. Now, if we could just do that, people are going to like us. That's actually something we're good at. I can think of a lot of things that we're a little sketch on, but loving people well, we're good at. And so let's just do that. I put this 1 Thessalonians 3:12. If we can get that verse. Oh, it's already up there. Look at you guys. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. I want our love to overflow for everyone else. Now, what in the world could love overflowing look like except that we're having conversations, we're investing in, we're a listening ear, we're engaging, we're praying for, we're helping. Let your love overflow. So it's not just let your love kind of bump up against them. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Handshake. That would be love kind of bump up against. It's love overflow. It's pour out. It's gush over. It's a fountain that the source is not affected by being able to pour out. The source just keeps on pouring. I want for the few that come into our midst, I just want us to shift our thought process. And I want when we come to church, I want us to be thinking, how much can I love this morning? How much can I pour out? How well can I show the love of Christ? And I mean, this is Bible. This isn't like some new idea. This is a really, really old one. And it says, let's figure out, let's ask the Lord for an increase of love. We have love in our congregation. I think if Paul was writing to us, he'd say, Foreigner Fellowship, you got the love thing. Now I pray for you that it would increase so that it can overflow to everyone else. And that's what I want to see. I want us as a church to let our love overflow to everyone else. I just give you a couple of thoughts in my mind here. So somebody comes into our service on a Sunday morning and they're new, you know? And you can tell they really just need somebody to love on them. Forget that I'm preaching. Who cares? Just hang out with them in the lobby and love on them, pray for them. Great. I mean, don't do that with the same person every week for a month. For sure, they come in, like, totally give them the whole service if they need it. Just love on them. Great. That's awesome. That's so great. Like, let the love overflow. I so desire for us to brand that section of Cooper Street as the place where the love of God is just oozing. Where people just know, if I go there, I can get a touch from the Holy Spirit. I can get loved on by God's people. I'll be accepted and enjoyed and celebrated and kicked in the butt where I need it. But notice that's like the last thing, not the first. I want for there to be such love coming out of that place that we're able to brand it, we're able to market it. We're going to be right in the middle of all these businesses. Amy and I, nope, that was me and Gabby this morning. Wow. Gabby's small and Amy's taller, so I don't know. So Gabby and I were in Krispy Kreme this morning. And she had a free donut card, and I tried to take the girls out on little daddy-daughter times. And I was taking Gabby out to get her free donuts. We're in the Krispy Kreme. The Krispy Kreme is like catty corner from our spot, okay? And as we were in there, I was just amazed at how many, like, young families and young, you know, dads with kids and young people were coming in. I was like, this is exactly where we're supposed to be. Like, we could just camp out at the Krispy Kreme and have ourselves a field day. I was like, this is going to be awesome. It's gonna, yeah, see, I got an amen. I want for you to take a little bit of a shift of your thought process from, I come to church for 1, 2, 3, 4, your list. You don't necessarily need to knock anything off that list. I just want you to add to love people well, to love the one well, that one that comes in, that we don't know, that has got a life and stories and struggles and troubles. Let's love them well. Second thing, let's not be in a hurry. Because we're not expecting thousands, we're really going to have such, at least on the front end here, we're going to have a real advantage in numbers. Because we're going to do an outreach that I'm anticipating, you know, the church is going to be there, so call it, you know, 30, 40 adults on a Sunday morning or something, okay? And in the course of an hour or two, we're going to have five people come. Like, we have got plenty of people to minister to them. Let's not be in a hurry in our interactions. When we're talking to somebody, don't be looking at it like, well, I just want to give them the 1, 2, 3 and then get out of here. Like, invest. Take as long as you want, as long as they want, as long as they need. Don't be in a hurry. That's the great thing about what we're about to do. We are in like this incredible position of strength because we're talking about reaching so few in number at a time, and we have got a strength of love, of intercession, of friendship, of family. Let's not be in a hurry. Let's just take our time with those visitors. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says this, "So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less?" I want to hear again. We used to hear it all the time, and it's been a while. We've had a bunch of kids. Life has shifted a little bit. It's not that I don't hear it. It's just I don't hear it like I used to. We used to hear all the time, "Oh my gosh, they loved me so well." I mean, that was a term that was used so often. They loved me so well. Let's take these outreach moments that we're going to do. Let's take our Sunday mornings when people are around, and let's let the testimony be, I am going to love them so much that they have a revelation moment. If I come here, I get loved. Now, the only way they're going to get that revelation is if you go overboard. You can't treat them the same way they get treated at Walmart, or they won't walk away with that feeling. You can't treat them the same way that they'd get treated at maybe any other great church, where they're going to get greeted and, "Hey, glad you're here," and that's kind of the end of it. They're not going to get that. They're not going to get the, "I was loved so well, I just want to go back to like the source of love that I know of. I want to go back to 2705 South Cooper Street because that's where I get loved. That's where I get filled up. That's where I get encouraged and prayed for, and that's where it happens for me. I don't want to be in a hurry." One of the things that I want us to look at with just a moment of sobriety is the following thought process in accordance to the second greatest commandment. You guys know the first, we spend a lot of time talking about it, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I want us to think about the weight of the responsibility. Now, I don't want us to, you know, get into, you know, fear or whatever. I just want us to carry the weight for a second about what it's going to take for an individual to come to our church. It's not like we have big signs out there. We're not a big church. We don't have word of mouth about how awesome this is or awesome that is. I want you to think about what it's going to take for an individual to come to our church and how the Lord feels about that individual coming to our church. I want us to think for a second about the weight that the Holy Spirit feels for Foreigner Fellowship as a responsibility, that the fact that they made it to us, that they got to us, was a gift of God. Now let's love them, like love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's love them with all that we have. It's a commandment from God that is second to loving God, and Jesus himself said is like loving God. He said loving that person, pouring out on them, that one that came into the church, that three, that five, that few number, love them like yourself. Love them. You don't know them. They're a stranger. You met them one time. You've never met them. You hope to never meet them again. Let's love them like crazy. Let's love them. I think that there's a responsibility. I just kind of feel a little bit of a fear and trembling from the Lord. He's going to bring us people. Let's not be the reason they don't come back. I don't mean you kicked them. Please don't kick people. I don't mean you like stole something from them. Don't do that either. I mean they came as a gift of God. They came into our midst, but they didn't receive enough to come back. They didn't get enough that in their train of thought made them think, I should come back to this place. Let's not do that. Can I just tell you, I'm not a good enough preacher for people to come and like fall in love and stay around because of Brad's preaching. Okay? Our worship's going to need to go up a good bit. We don't even have a worship leader at the moment. I'm so thankful for those that have been filling in. I think we've had some incredible moments. But we don't have like worship on Sunday morning right now that's going to be like, you just got to go to Forerunner Fellowship. Their worship is amazing. I know of a few places that you could say that about. Sometimes I wonder if maybe I should go there, go to church, but we don't have those things, but we have something, we have it where it counts. We have godly community. We have godly friendships. We know how to love people well. That actually matters way more because when someone gets into a crisis in their soul, they don't need a good worship moment. They need relationships and discipleship and friendship. You know, when people are like having the difficulty of their life and they're going through it, they don't need me to give them a good preaching message. They need a place of solace that they can go and find refuge and sanctuary and joy and friendship and acceptance and prayer. That's what they need. We can do that. What people really need, we can do really well. I just want us to try. Let's trust the Lord to move on their heart. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7. I have a firm conviction about this. If we will do our part, which our part is love ridiculously well, if we will do our part, the Lord will move on hearts and root people here in this church. I have no doubt. Now, again, we've not been in that frame of mind because we haven't had people coming. It really wasn't our season for whatever reasons the Lord has had. But things are shifting at this point. At least in regard to, we're going to have people regularly coming in the door. Maybe not hundreds, but ones and twos and fives. We're going to have people coming in the door. And I just want us to do our part. Let's love them so well. And then let's trust the Holy Spirit to move on the ones he's going to move on. And they'll root and they'll become our new best friends. They'll become our new moms and dads in the faith. They'll become our new brothers and sisters. They'll become our new friends and family. They'll get rooted with us if we'll do our part. I just see the work that Paul talked about as part of the New Testament church. And he was really just describing people in their various stages in trying to come to know God and root in places and find their identity in the Lord. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 7. It says, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it, but it's God that made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I just want to put our stock in God. I also want to put our hand to the plow. All right, I want us to work hard. Let's love people well, and then let's trust the Lord to do what he does. I totally trust him. He's totally going to do it, but he won't do our part. He won't. And if we don't do our part, there's nothing for him to water. There's nothing for him to move on. So we already said, it's not going to be my preach. It's not going to be the worship. It's going to be you. You are likable. You are good folk. You love the Lord. You carry yourselves with a measure of maturity. You know things about Jesus that are deep and that matter. And you know how to love people well. Let's just do that well, and then let's trust the Lord with the results. If we just sow well, I can go to sleep every night, every week, and know that the Lord will do what he wants to do with Forerunner Fellowship. I just know things are about to pivot. And we're going to have some new opportunities, and those opportunities equal responsibility. And I want us to operate in a way that the Lord would smile at as we take this shift. All right, interacting with lost people. This is going to be fun. Not only lost people, lots of young lost people. And young lost people are double firecrackers, okay? Because they don't have enough life experience to have not tried to prove themselves in enough environments. Okay, oh yeah, I got to tell you a story. All right, so as a lost person, oh, this is fun. I get to tell a fun little story. It just came to mind. As a lost person, I was invited to a church service. And my objective at this church service was to cause problems and to get into an argument with one of their staff and to try to, like, make them look dumb. That was my objective for going to church that night, okay? So I go, I do cause a few little problems. One of the interns wants to talk with me. By the end of the conversation, the intern is crying. Yeah, it's real, okay? Because I am so lost, and I'm bringing up this and that, and he can't help me, and I'm a mess, and I'm belittling him. And I was, like, excited to do that. That was, like, my fun that night. I got to do that. And I remember this funny moment. I was just thinking about this last week. It's a funny moment. One of my best friends at the time, totally lost as well, but had a different MO. He was after the girls in the youth group, okay? He had a different bad motive that night. As we're leaving, and he's going, I can't believe you made that intern cry, and all this stuff. My two best friends are looking at me, and my other best friend, who just started walking with the Lord, is like, man, you're an idiot. Why are you doing that? And the other best friend's like, man, I can't believe you made that guy cry. I mean, what did you say to him? And this guy, this lost guy, said, you know, I bet you if you ever did become a Christian or something, you'd probably be crazy. You'd probably be like a pastor or something. And we're all like, yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah. So anyway, I share that because lost youth, lost young people are a total mess. They're a mess. Some of them are mean. Some of them are on crazy drugs and all crazy lifestyle choices and addictions of every sort. Some of them have absolutely no conviction at all about really, really bad things. Some of them cuss like a sailor, and then there's the ones that really curse. I mean, it's just like, it's going to be fun. They're going to come into our church. They're going to be a train wreck. And it's going to be awesome, and we're going to love them because you were a train wreck too. And I just can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be messy. It's not going to be church as usual. They're going to be a total mess. And it's going to be fun. I just want us to remember Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. I mean, it's okay, cool. So you're lost and a mess and you stink. Cool. Let's pray for you. I believe God's power to be able to wash you. You're no more jacked up than I was. That's great. Second, young people specifically. And again, last week's message had a lot to do with aiming at the young people. It's not that we'll minister only to. I just feel a commission to aim at the young people. Young people need leadership. They need leadership. It's just how it is. Young adults, I've been in an opportunity here for the last nearly 20 years, I guess 19. For 19 years, I've been ministering to young adults. Kind of a weird thing to say. I feel a little not so young adult anymore. But for 20 years, I've been ministering to young adults, and I've learned a few things about young people, and then there's a lot of things I don't know because the rules keep changing. So please, any of you who are 20 who like me, help me understand 20-year-olds. But there are a few things that I understand that are universals, that transcend generation and all that, is they need leadership in their life. And there's a part of them that knows it. And there's a part of them also that didn't want to receive it from their parents, but still knows they need it and are looking elsewhere to find it. And they're all over the place. They're blown around like the wind. 20-year-olds, man, they're all over. They can't settle down. They got crazy ideas. They're all over the place. Well, those aren't bad things. It's just they just need leaders in their life. And a leader doesn't have to be 5, 10, 20 years older than them. Remember I told you I've been doing young adult ministry for nearly 20 years? Well, I'm only 37, so do the math. I was leading young adults when I was younger than them, okay? Age is not the issue. But I just think about people at this step in their life, this stage, Amy and I were just even a couple hours ago, we had a 20-year-old and his dad over in the living room. We were talking with him, getting to hear about his life. And I'm like, man, this kid needs leadership in his life. That's what he needs. That's what needs to be. And there's all the ups and the downs. What we need to do is, they don't know left from right. They don't know right from wrong. What they need is leadership that they can receive with love from people who are trustworthy that love Jesus. You know, just think about the account of Moses going up on the mountain and leaving his brother Aaron in charge. Aaron should have led those people instead of letting them lead. See, the tendency is to just let kind of reckless people just kind of go their own way. No, we should step in and try to lead them. And if Moses, or if Aaron rather, would have stepped in, that whole generation, do you realize that whole generation could have gone into the promised land? I mean, that would have been a starting point, but instead the rebellion began with direct violation of the things God just said don't do. And Moses just kind of watched it happen, even helped facilitate it. I'm sorry, Aaron. Let it watch it happen and kind of facilitate it instead of stepping in and providing leadership. I can remember my first kind of young adult, if you can call 11th graders young adults. I can remember my first assignment. Can you remember it? Can remember my first assignment back there, soundboard. And here's what I was told. Came to this Baptist church here in Arlington, and the youth pastors came to me and they said, well, hope you're ready to work. I said, okay. They said the 12th graders are a really solid group. They've got unity. They're strong leaders. The 10th graders, man, they're a great group. They're large. They're friends. They've got really a lot going on. The 11th graders are kind of a lost cause. We want to give you the 11th graders. Good luck. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, they just kind of lack leadership, and they don't really gel well together, and they're kind of aimless a little bit. There's some great kids. That group doesn't really seem to be going anywhere. And they gave me the assignment of like, go fix it. Well, I'll tell you what, that group, after a couple of years, was one of the strongest groups that's come through that youth group. In leadership, in affection, in love, in outreach to their friends. I mean, there was a lot of strength that happened there. And they needed leadership. More than leadership, they needed someone to step in and say, I'm leading, come with me, let's go. And I'll just tell you, as an outsider, it didn't really make any sense for me to come into this group that I didn't have any previous relationship with and say, hi, now I'm your leader, let's go. But do you know what people want? That. People want the audacity of someone to step in. No, not everybody, but lots of people do. Lots of people want somebody to just step into their life and say, come on, come with me, let's go, let's do this. Let's chase Jesus. I got one more. A few years later, another interesting assignment. There was a small group that was connected to a High Point Church where I was attending. I was a part of the college ministry there. And there was this college group, and they were kind of the rough around the edges college group, but there was a little bit of, you know, there was a lot of arrogance, a little bit of the move of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of marijuana, okay? there was a lot of that going on. It was kind of a mess of a small group. A lot of them had just gotten saved or weren't saved yet, but it was kind of a growing group. And these leaders that had been a part of it for a number of years, they'd kind of helped cultivate, you know, at least the friendship factor, and they were going to kind of get to evangelism down the road. Well, they moved. They up and left. And now there was this group of about five or, you know, six, maybe eight of these 20-year-olds that was kind of in a mess of a state. And this college group said, hey, Brad, we need you to go pretend like it makes sense for you to be the small group leader of that group. And I said, yeah, huh? They said, yeah, because otherwise they're all just going to disperse. And they're going to go off and we'll never see any of them again. I said, okay, well, all right, I will. So I stepped in. And I just stepped right in. I found the same exact thing as with that group of 11th graders. But now I'm talking about a group of 21, 22, 23-year-olds. I found the exact same thing. They wanted someone to lead them. to take them deeper in God, to just be in their life. Well, that's how we got Sean Way and Rich and Chad Stevens, for those of you who have been around a while. Those were those guys. That was the group. That's where that came from. And it's like, because I just stepped in and said, you know what? I'm going to pretend like it makes sense for me to lead you because you're a 20-year-old and you need leadership. And I'm willing to do it. I have no business. I don't know you. You don't know me. There's no reason for you to trust me. We'll get there. I'm going to lead. See, people, it's crazy. But people are open. They're hungry. They just want someone to be audacious enough to step into their life and help give them some leadership that they have not been having in any other way in their life. And the truth about young 20-year-old crowd, they need it. You know, but really this subject, this idea of forcing your way into someone's life as a leader, just kind of setting yourself up. Of course they can reject you and say, no, I'm never coming back. Okay, were they really going to come back anyway? I mean, no. So it's kind of a moot point. But this is really the subject of the Great Commission. This is the issue. What's it say? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go and make disciples. Make them. Step into their life and say, you're going to be my disciple. You understand? Go and make disciples. Step into their life and begin to disciple them. Begin to love them. Begin to help them. Begin to encourage them. This is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is step into someone's life that you have absolutely no business in whatsoever and make yourself a leader and make them a disciple of Jesus. This is the Great Commission. So I'm not saying anything crazy. This is normal. Paul, every time he had to walk into one of those cities, he's calling himself a leader. They don't know he's a leader. Who knew Paul when he showed up to a random city? It's just some guy going, I'm a leader. Come hear me preach. Repent. Start walking with Jesus. Who does that? A disciple of Christ who's called to make disciples of Christ. And we do it at various levels. We do it some with a microphone, some with a small group, some with a one-on-one, some with a conversation at the gas station. People want leadership. This world is a train wreck. This world is a mess. Leadership is stepping into someone's life and just trying to help them and recognizing they may reject your help, but they need it. So you offer it. You put yourself in a place of leadership. It's the essence of the Great Commission to make disciples step into their life. So the new person walks in, you just go right up to them and go, hey, how can I help you? Do you know what that means? Here's what you're saying. It's actually a bit of an arrogant statement. How can I help you means you have something, they don't. You recognize they need help. They have two options. Give you the bird and leave, or receive your help. But the Lord moves on humility. The Lord loves this stuff. And the truth of the matter is, people actually, most of the time, appreciate the fact that someone stepped in to say, how can I help? But it does require humility to receive it. I just want us to be about this. Your age doesn't matter. Some would say, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too in the middle. It's all ridiculous. You're too alive in Christ. Minister to people. Love them. Well, they're older than me. They're younger than me. None of that matters. Just love people. Just love people. The gospel works no matter what the age bracket. Love works no matter what the age bracket. So don't go, oh, these people that just walked in, they're you know, a few years older than me, or they're twice my age. I can't minister to them. Oh, yes, you can, and they'll love it when you do. And others don't go, oh, they're too young. I couldn't make as much sense to them as, you know, if Rhoda did it. Yeah, you can. Just go love them. What they need is you. See, I am a firm believer. I mean, I believe this to the depth of my core. You've heard me say it before, but I believe this so strong. I believe this church has everything it's supposed to right now. Everyone it's supposed to right now. In order to be able to accomplish everything we're supposed to accomplish right now. So if somebody walks in the door, we have who we need to be able to minister to that person. They're here. They is you. So let's minister to people. Pray for them. This is how we're going to win. This is our lane. We're good at this. I mean, we may not be rich. We may not be able to buy them out of their problem. This poor couple, I don't mean poor money. They probably were poor money too. I just meant their life circumstances. They walked into the prayer room the other day and they just had all kinds of stuff. And they're like, hey, listen, you're the pastor here? And I was like, sure. And they're like, oh man, we're so glad we get to meet with you. We need money. You know, we've got this hotel and we're doing this and it's clear that they're, you know, not married, and it's a guy and a girl, and that they're shacking up, and they're like, man, we need money. And I go, me too. They go, well, no, we came here for money. I go, yeah, we went into debt, like, I don't know, a couple $100 or something last month, or $2,000. I don't even remember what it was. I go, you going to give me money? And they go, no. I go, but I don't have that, but what I do have, I can give you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray the peace of God, and I'll pray conviction over your life. And they're like, okay. So I start praying for them. They start crying. It's not anointed. I'm not like in like Holy Ghost mode or what. I'm just praying. Like, God, pray that you give them the peace of God, transcends understanding, and convict them about life and everything else and help them know you. And they're crying. Okay, what did I do? I told them I couldn't help them with anything they wanted. And then I gave them something they didn't want. And they were glad that I gave it to them. You can do that. That's how we're going to win this thing. All of you can pray for a human being and just pray bad. And then try to make it better next time or something. Just pray and go, God, help. Put your hand on him and go, God, help. Get him. Bless him. Cry over him. I don't care. Pray for people. If we'll pray for people, people will leave blessed. They won't leave richer or smarter, but they'll leave blessed. They'll leave having an encounter with God, knowing that this is a place that they can receive love. This is our lane. We can do this. What if people came and every time they came, they got prayed for by 2, 3, 5, 8 people? Somebody's done praying for them. I'm gonna go get them. Okay, good. Okay, now you go get them. Okay. What if people just keep getting prayed for? They're like, when I go to that place, they just pray for me like crazy. And you're prophetic. The Holy Spirit will move through you. You'll wind up praying the same prayer the other person prayed and giving them that crazy word they needed. You'll do it on accident. And they'll be so messed up because God is with this people. I don't know how many physical healings we're going to see in a month or 6 months, but I can tell you we will absolutely have signs and wonders in our midst if we'll just pray for people. They will be touched by the Holy Spirit. We're good at this. But it does require us to do something different, and that is go over the person. Hey, can I just pray for you? Sure. Pray for him. Hey, can I just pray for you? Pray for him. This is simple, guys. Here's what I think we're supposed to do. I think we're supposed to pray for people. I mean, we're like a praying church. We're all in prayer meetings over at the prayer room. I mean, like, this is kind of a no-brainer here. This is kind of like, duh, like, let's just pray for people. And I think it's actually what we're supposed to do. I think it's what we're good at. I think it's what God's going to use. If we'll just pray for people. So, try to not let somebody come and you not pray for them. What if we all pray for them? What if we all pray for them? How bad is that? I just want to pray for people. You know, I put the Philippians 4:6-7 here. I love this verse. I think it's powerful, but I think it's also a great verse to pray over people. You don't have to quote it, just pray it over them. Do not be anxious in anything. Do you know how many people are anxious? All of them. All. They're anxious. They got anxious problems. Some of them they want to talk about, some of them they don't. Some things they hope you never find out. They are anxious. Jesus said in the last generation, you watch out or the anxieties of life will own you. Luke 21:34-36, the anxieties of life. Why? Because we live in an anxious generation. There's so much to be anxious about. So I promise you, they're anxious. So what a great prayer. Let's pray the don't be anxious prayer. Because 100% of the people who are going to come in are going to be anxious about something. Do not be anxious about anything, but instead, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Pray. If you really want to know what it says, do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation, pray. Okay, cool. Well, if they're not good enough to go, if they're not with enough wherewithal, if they just want a little bit of help or an assist, or they just want somebody else to do the praying finally, for you to come and assist them and do the praying for them. It still works. I don't know how many times I prayed the peace of God over somebody and they felt the peace of God. Why? Well, it's a Bible verse. It says do it. It says instead of being anxious, pray. So when the anxious people come in, which remember is everybody, pray for them, present your request to God, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. What that transcends all understanding means is it's going back to the circumstances, every situation, which transcends every situation, which transcends every problem, every issue. It transcends every one of them. The peace of God will come and rest on you and guard your heart and your mind in Christ so that you can be a sane person again. The world needs sanity. Pray this prayer over them all the time. Lord, I pray anxiety go in the name of Jesus, and let the peace of God come and rest on their soul, on their mind. Fill them with your joy. Touch them with your presence. If you don't pray anything but that, this is going to be the church to be at. Who doesn't want that? And all you got to do is pray for them and they'll get it. And if they don't get it when you pray for them, here comes Andy. If they don't get when Andy prays, here comes Sue. If they don't get when Sue prays, here comes her, sir. They're just going to get it. They're going to get the peace of God. Let's just pound anxiety out of them. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, just say it with me, transcends all understanding. Doesn't that just sound sweet? Don't you just want to live there? And it'll guard their heart and their mind, and they'll be good to go. Well, that's the plan. Pray for people. That's the brilliant Foreigner Fellowship, the word of the Lord. Like, man, I'm so smart. Our word from God is pray for people. Okay, big surprise. That's the what. I want to touch on the how just a little bit. Let's be as receivable as possible. There are some things that we can do that will not be helpful. Let's just not do those. Let's focus on the good. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22. Now, take this into the thought process of what we're talking about. Praying for people that come into our midst. Praying for people in our outreaches. Praying for people that come to church Sunday morning. Let's just focus on this for a second and use this as our grid, our framework, our filter. Though I am free and belong to no one, I made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like those under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. Why? So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. When people come into our midst, let's do whatever we have to do to minister to them. Let's do whatever is necessary to bless them, to pray for them, to help them. I'm going to give us a couple of ground rules. The first is speak the truth in love. It's not the truth or love. It's the truth in love. Like, don't pray. I mean, like, when I was praying for that couple that was clearly living in sin, I wasn't going, and God bless their adulterous relationship. I mean, what a crazy thing to pray. I was praying, oh God, help them, bless them, and bring them deep conviction that would bring about godly sorrow and help them and would stir them to love you and would fill them with joy. See, that's the truth in love. It wasn't, you're terrible, you baddies. Quit being bad. It's like, okay, you're living in sin. I used to do that. I lived in sin. All right. The Lord help them and get them. Get them. And I hugged them afterwards. They felt loved and probably deep conviction because they're probably going, you think he knows we're sleeping together? Yeah, I think he knows to pray conviction over us. I mean, like they're leaving that way, feeling love, crying, booing, feeling the love of the Lord, feeling love from a person. and feeling conviction about their junk. Truth in love. We don't have to compromise the truth in order for our interactions to be loving. Nor do we want to only show love and not ever bring forth the truth. And I don't mean you got to lead with this or that. I just gave you a great example. Just pray the positive over them. You find something messed up with them, pray the positive. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for the power to free them from addiction. Oh man, he thinks I'm addicted. But he did just pray for me to get unaddicted. Just pray the positive. Find whatever, you know, Lord, they're a liar. They are just filled with lies. Lord, I pray that you fill them with the spirit of truth. Just find out what's wrong with them and pray the other thing. And they'll go, man, they're prophetic. Well, no, actually, you lied to me 5 times. It was, I needed no spirit of prophecy on this one. It was really, really clear. All right. How does he know I'm addicted? Have you smelt you? Oh my God, it's really easy on this one. Like, I'm not even saying you got to move in a word of knowledge on this. Just pray the positive. All right? Second, adapt to them as best you can. If there's anything you can do to change your approach, your application, your body language, the words you use, in order for you to be able to minister, to be more receivable, do it. Whatever that looks like. I find people sometimes, and I'll start to approach to pray for them or minister to them, and I can just tell, this poor girl is a scared bunny. She's a scared little bunny. If I come in like my normal me, she is gone. Gone. So I come in, hi. Can I pray for you? Lord, I bless this scared bunny in Jesus' name. And she just feels the Lord. Just slow down a little. For the other one, speed up. Guy comes in on, you know, speed. He's like, oh, like this, you better move quick. You won't be able to keep up with him. You know, just like think about what this person needs right now. You might not get another chance. They might not ever come back. Let's figure out how to minister to them right there, that moment. Holy Spirit, show me what I can do to bless them, to minister to them. Help me, God. Help me to even know about myself, what I need to do according to Paul's thought process on doing all to win all, to win as many as possible. What can I do in this moment? How can I be a blessing? How can I relate? What can I do? Maybe the best thing you can do is send the other person over. Have the willingness, the discernment. Like, let's just do all we can to adapt to them and give them what they need. Next, give people some space. In personal ministry, one of the things that we want to raise awareness about is personal space. Part of that is proximity. You know, some of you are close talkers. A little scary. It's okay to be a close talker. Just don't do it with a brand new visitor. You know? I'm the first to go up and just like touch somebody's hair or their shoulder or like give them a hug or whatever. But when you're ministering to people that you don't know, you're like, you give them a little bit of space. Ask for permission. Hey, I'm about to pray for you. Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? And if they look at you kind of weird, don't just give them the out big. That's fine. Don't worry about it. If they're like, sure, cool, place your hand on your shoulder. Don't just go around placing your hands on people's shoulders. Some people don't like that. Some people freaked out. Remember the first time I did that to somebody that had been in combat recently. And I was like, okay, hey, sorry about that. I'll make sure to ask next time. I mean, it's, you know, give people a little bit of personal space. Ask their permission. Don't be bossy. Don't show irritation. Listen, some of the outreaches and stuff we're going to do, you're going to be in moments where people are not going to want to interact with you. That's okay. Don't show irritation like, well, I can't believe you. What's wrong with you? You should want me to interact with you. Pastor Brad said you were going to want to interact with me. It's fine. Just blow it off. Okay, cool. No problem. Don't get an attitude with them. If somebody doesn't seem to be receiving the word you got for them, don't get all cocky or whatever. Just roll with it. It's okay. Somebody, you know, you're praying for somebody and then they start to kind of like back off and like, man, I don't want any more of this. Don't try to like, don't make it weird. Don't be bossy. Just love people.
We want to empower you to be as helpful as possible by honoring the people that God brings us, by showing them love in a big way, so that they can get to the next place in God. That's really one of the main objectives. We want for that person that's totally lost, and God knows they are not coming to Jesus today. We want for that person's heart to get a little bit more soft because they interacted with you. The person that the Lord's been softening for a while, and today might well be the day. We want for them to get to that next step in God because they interacted with you. That person that is, they love the Lord, but man, they've just not been really walking with him. They're like, man, I need to get my life serious with God. We want them to get to that next place in God, that next step, because they interacted with you. That person that needs to get filled with the Spirit because they interacted with you, that needs to stop doing that one thing and start doing that other thing. That person that really needs to get back to the Word, that needs to get back to obedience in this area, that we want them to get to the next place in God because they interacted with you. That's the objective. So let's not stand in the way of that. Let's partner with it. All right, now, I want to end with a little bit of a review, but a two-part kind of point here from last week. I want to talk about the importance of inviting them back to our church, okay? I want to provide us with the absolute most simple instructions, the foolproof thought process here of how to invite people to come back and check out Foreigner Fellowship. Because remember, if those of you who were here last week, this is our second primary objective, or our secondary objective, if you will. The first is love them well. The second is absolutely to get them to come back to the building. Why? Because they need godly community. They need fellowship, and they need a family. It's not enough that, you know, I was talking with somebody, and I loved the way that they put it. They were like, man, you know, internet TV is just not enough. You know, sermons on TV, it's just not enough. We got to have more than that. I think that's wisdom. And we're in a generation where they can go and get a lot of things from a lot of places. They need to be in the building. So it's important they come back to the building, and we got to invite them back to the building so that they can get family and friends and fellowship and discipleship and joy and help. You know what? We tend to help people a whole lot more the more we trust them and know them. So the more that person is known and is trusted, the more they get helped. I'm just thinking about some of the crazy things you have done in this church for people in this church. Found a way to get them a car. Found a way to help them through a really dark time. The meal trains when babies pop out. I mean, all the ways that you have loved abundantly, but you've done that because you've known the person at least a little bit and gotten to the people that walk in our door, they need that. But they don't get that if they just come once. They'll never get it. They'll go to the next church and not get it, and the next place and not get it. They need family. They need depth. They need relationship. And they, just as a practical thing, they have to come back to the building for us to give that to them. So it's important that we get good at inviting those, especially during our outreaches, to come to the building. So again, we're going to print up some cards, and they're going to say something like, you know, Foreigner Fellowship on the front, and on the back, our service time, and just something really simple with the address, something simple. Give these cards out. When people come through our outreaches, we want to be sure that 100% every person that we interact with gets invited back to church that Sunday, and we give them a card. Let's just not let it be on us that we didn't make the invitation and give them the simplicity of the instructions, the how, and put it in their hand. Let's just get 100%. Everybody that comes and we minister to, let's give them a card. We're out doing evangelism, we give them a card. We're praying for people, we give them a card. We're out here, we're out there, let's put cards all in our pockets. Let's start inviting people to church. And when they come, let's love them. All right? We want to give them a card. Real simple. Here's some information about our church. It tells you what time we meet on Sundays. Come on back. Say it your way. I mean, it's really simple. Give them a card. Tell them what it is. Hey, this is info about our church. We meet on Sundays at whatever time. We're still working on that. Come back. Come this Sunday. Well, I don't really. Nah, come on. That's crazy. Come. Come be with us. Come hang out with us this Sunday. Come to church. Well, okay. Well, at least think about it. All right. Give them the card. And then if they throw the card away or whatever, that's fine. That's up to them. Next, if you have a really good connect, you know, some of these connections are going to be good, and some of these connections are going to be really good. Think about one of the really good connections you've had before, where you had an initial interaction with somebody, and you were like, I really liked them. And maybe they were fun or cool. Maybe they were really broken, and you just felt a connection to them. And it doesn't have to be that they were like this or that or whatever. Some of them are going to be really great connections. Ask them for their phone number. Not the church asking, you as a human asking. Hey, would you mind giving me your number? I'll call and check on you this week. I'll come pick you up and bring you to church. I just want to call and see if you've got any other prayer requests. Come Wednesday, you're probably going to have more problems, aren't you? Yeah, if this week goes like last week, I am. All right, well, great. Give me your number. I'll call you on Wednesday, and I'll see if I can pray for you, or I'll text you. Find as many people as are willing that it's a good fit, that you had a good connection with. This doesn't work for every conversation, but it'll work for some of them. Ask them if you can have their number, and then pray for them, help them, bless them, do more for them. And then if you tell them you're going to follow up with them, you better. You better call them that week or text them that week or whatever you said you were going to do. I like texts. Not everybody does, but I just think it's an easy way to, especially in a new relationship that you just started or whatever, it's pretty non-threatening. They can choose to ignore it pretty easy, you know? But it's a way for you to be able to communicate and just say, hey, this is Brad from church. You know, you were here the other day. You pulled over for prayer during our outreach or whatever, and I got to pray for you. We talked a little bit. Want to see how you're doing this week and see if there's anything I can be praying for you? Question mark. If they reply, pray for them. Do whatever the thing is that they're asking. And then ask them, say, hey, I'm going to pray for you about that starting right now, and then pray right then. Here's the greatest way to never drop I will pray for you. Pray that very second. Out loud if you have to. I don't know that I've done it flawlessly, but I've gotten pretty close where if I say I'm going to pray for somebody, I do it that second because I know me. I'm going to forget. So tell them, I'm going to be praying for you starting right now. What do you think about coming to church this Sunday? What do you think about coming back? I mean, this is a really easy thing for us to do here. Really easy interaction. All right, what if they come back? Oh, no. Oh, no, they're actually here. Now what? This is the thing we've been trying to do that we could never do, that nobody ever did. Now it happened. What do we do? First, be friendly. Be so friendly that it's irritating. People like friendly people, except really, really, really mean people. And you guys have seen enough movies where the really, really friendly person wins over the mean person eventually. It's true. People like friendly people. Be friendly. Good to see you again. So glad you're here. Try to remember details about your interaction. People like to feel known instead of just a number. You know, just a name, just a ticket. And I just want to tell you, one of the things that's going to have to shift, and I don't think this is in any way we're doing bad. This is just something that's going to need to pivot because of our culture and what has been. Connection time, when we say meet and greet, we're going to have to pivot that a little bit. Because we're so used to there not being a lot of new faces, so there's not a lot of new people to go talk with. We're going to need to be intentional during that time. And forget everybody you know. They don't matter for a minute. Go and talk to people you don't know. Let's minister to those that come in the door. Something I want, this is just another little practical point. We're almost done here. This is a practical point that I want to be so normal, and it's not right now. It's not normal. So I want to give us an area of reproof that we can do better. This is something we can grow in. This is an area where we can love people better. And we can do it, and it's really, really easy. The following phrase: hey, come sit with us. When a person walks in the building and they don't know anybody, they're not gonna be sitting with anybody. Why? Because they don't know anybody. Well, bridge that. Hey, come sit with us. Come sit with me. Come sit with our family. Who are you sitting with? Nobody. I don't know anybody. Cool, come sit with me. Let's just let that be something in the water here. Hey, come sit with us. I don't want to have to, like, ask. I want us to just do it. Let's just ask people to come sit with us and be with us. And if they're like, no, I'm cool. It's okay. Okay, cool. That's fine. They don't have to. But what a great invitation of a real way to, like, and then, you know, little moments where I say something stupid on the microphone, they've got somebody next to enjoy that moment with. Like, I cannot believe he just said that. Yeah, he's kind of a mess. We're thinking about firing him. Like, you've got somebody to enjoy the moment with. Moment of, like, conviction where, you know, one out of, like, 80 sermons, I say something good, and you're like, ooh, that's good. They're like, yeah, that's good. They've got somebody to that's good with because you invited them to come sit with you. Just real simple. Hey, come sit with us. I just want that to be normal. Let's let that become a normal part of our culture. And then we're going to get them connected to a small group, and that's going to change their life and make them so happy because they're going to get close friends, those godly relationships I was talking about. And we're going to be working on ways to streamline that in a greater way, make that process all the better. Guys, I think we have everything we need to have a really awesome church. And I think that the Lord is actually now allowing Foreigner Fellowship to, like, finally get its real start. We've been kind of hidden underground for the last however many years. And now I feel like the Lord is giving us an opportunity to get a real start. And the most important thing shouldn't surprise us. It's that we love those that come into our building, that we love those that we get to minister to. And I think that we can do that through being very simple and very intentional. Let's pray for them. Let's love on them. Let's follow up with them. And let's just try to become friends with them and get them involved in our life around here.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.